Hello, I'm Trevor Nan, talking to you through a Shure Motive microphone on top of an iPhone. How very mobile of me. This week, a commercial radio legend who's off to join the BBC. The latest news, as always, and David Lloyd's look back at this week in radio history.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Simon Clark is our main guest this week. After a quarter of a century in independent radio, most recently at Wave, he's announced that he's joining BBC Radio Solent. Stu Clarkson hooked up with him to find out more.
Yes, thank you, Trevor. This week we're talking to a legend of commercial radio who's about to leave commercial radio and go to the dark side and join the BBC. It's Simon Clark. Welcome to the Radio Today programme.
Legend? Who told you that?
I've got my ear to the ground, you know. I've got my ear to the ground.
Thank you.
So 25 years in commercial radio. Take us back. You started at Chiltern in the 90s.
I did. And do you know, there were three bits of advice when I was at Chiltern that I've held close to me, certainly during the beginning stages of my career. The first was from Colin Wilshire at North Ants Radio, which was, it's not what you say, it's what you don't say. The second was from Paul Chandler, who was also obviously at Chiltern Radio. He was a programme director. And that was, you can lose a listener in seconds, but it takes years to win them back. And the third piece of advice was my first ever programme controller, which was Steve Power, who obviously still works here at Wave now. And that was, you're 18, you're still living at home with your parents, your audience are in their 30s, they've got jobs and mortgages, they don't care about your opinions, just shut up and play the hits. And he was right. And those three bits of advice certainly held me in good stead when I started out my career in commercial radio 25 years ago.
Wow, 25 years this year. Now, we're going to talk about your recent years at Wave soon and also your upcoming move to Radio Solent. But what a career you have. If you can look back on the 25 years, what are the kind of key moments for you that you've most enjoyed about being on commercial radio?
I really enjoyed being in the Midlands. For many people, certainly in the infancy of their career in the middle of the 90s, they all aspired to work at Capital. For me, I always wanted to work at BRMB. And I managed to kind of get my way in there by just saying, hey, I'm giving up full-time radio, but I'm on your doorstep if you want someone to do weekends and swing, and managed to get in that way. Did weekend breakfast for them and did all the cover as well for, I think it was about 18 months to almost 2 years. Prior to that, I'd been at Mercia. Prior to that, I'd had 3 years with 100.7 Heart FM, which I have to say was probably one of the most exciting times in my career in terms of learning.
I'm laughing because you threw the frequency in there like a good jock would.
Yeah, well, I was trying to think, how would I name it now? That's what it was. That's the headline selling that was ingrained in us at the time. You had to call it that. There was a brilliant guide, actually, which I've got still now, that Paul Fairburn did when I was at Heart the first time around in August 97. And it still, to this day, is the best style guideline I was ever given. It covered every possible detail. In fact, and I hope Paul Fairburn won't mind, I have given it to various students who've come in over the years and said, well, what do I need to do? So go and have a read of this. Ignore the bit about format clocks, but the first five pages of this, it's everything you possibly need to know about being a successful commercial radio presenter. Heart, really enjoyed it. Worked for Alan Carruthers just after Paul Fairburn had moved out of programming and become the managing director. Was working alongside Carlos, who I'd worked with at Chiltern. Worked with Cox and Bumfrey, who were absolutely amazing on Breakfast, and an established lineup of presenters who had nothing to prove. And it was just a really good grounding for me. And I must have been 24, 25 at the time. We had a great consultant there, Dennis Clark, as well, who very kindly gave me quite a lot of his time, taught me some valuable lessons. But obviously, Chiltern was the place where I learned an awful lot in a very short space of time. And I was trusted just to get on with it on a network late show where I was doing a programme on six different transmitters. And I still wonder how I used to do 4 hours of radio when I would turn up without any show prep apart from the weather. Because these days, obviously, we do show prep. We think about what we're going to talk about. And it was probably helped by the fact that you couldn't be local and you didn't have to be topical. But here's 4 hours, off you go. Don't say anything local. Don't give any opinions. Play the tunes. And maybe that's how I got through it. I don't know.
So from the late 90s, you had, 10 years in the Midlands with Heart and Mercia and BRMB. And then
it was about 10 years, yeah.
And then after that, you kind of changed lifestyle completely. Family circumstances meant you moved back to the south, or moved to the south coast.
Yeah, well, you know what it's like when you have kids. You have to make a decision about where you're going to bring them up, which school they're going to go to. At the time, I was living in Harborne, which is a suburb of Birmingham. we didn't really want our kids to go to an inner city school, so it was a choice of either move to the outskirts of Birmingham to somewhere nice and green, or up sticks completely and come down this end of the country where my wife's family were. And she hadn't spent a great deal of time with them in the 20 years previously, because she'd gone to uni and then she'd studied law and done her postgrad and done all the rest of the stuff, actually practiced law. And I just thought, she was very close to her family. She hadn't had a chance to spend a lot of time with them. So maybe the sensible thing for us to do is to move down here. And so that she couldn't take the foot off the gas with her career, and similarly me, we ended up coming to Southampton, and she worked for a law firm in Southampton, and I ended up coming to Wave. And I was very lucky, because as anyone who's tried to get a job at Wave will tell you, they don't come up very often. And I did weekends and swing, and happened to be in the right place at the right time when afternoons came up. And that was 10 years ago.
Wow. And as you say, people stay there a long time. The lineup that you've got at Wave now, they're all people who've been on the station for a good number of years.
I mean, there was a big change last year when we swapped Breakfast and Drive over. And it's always a challenge when you do something like that. But thankfully, the audience were okay about it.
And the audience is enormous. Why has Wave got such a big audience, do you think?
20 years ago, when Wave launched, it launched at a time where branding was starting to be important in radio. All of a sudden, everyone was learning about branding and the importance of it. So Wave launched 20 years ago, actually, the start of March, when Martin Bull had his first day on the job building the radio station. And we've had a consistent marketing policy from the year dot. We've had a consistent music policy from the year dot. The station evolved about 10 years ago when Andy Shire joined, and it needed to, because you can't grow old with your audience. And we started introducing probably more mainstream pop acts than we would have done in the years when we were a proper AC station. And obviously AC has evolved as well. You look at what's happening in New York with Light. They're now playing lots of stuff that crosses over. And obviously we've done the same. And Wave has managed to continue to be consistent. Our news coverage is fantastic. Our two girls who provide us with travel information know the patch inside out. And it's that consistent information, and it's that friendly voice in the room, and it's familiar music which has helped Wave grow and continue to beat off the competition. You know, we've got a heart and a capital in our market, and we still hold our own against those brands. And we've been very fortunate at Wave that Bauer have trusted us to just crack on and carry on doing what we're doing.
I was going to say, you've got heart and capital, you've got Sam. There are obviously a lot more national stations that people can get now as well. Mm. But the share and the reach that the Wave has gotten, not only that, but your afternoon show, I think you're, what, about 15% share at your time slot, which, that's pretty cracking, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been really lucky in that my main competition keeps going on holiday lots. And I think the consistency really helps, of the fact that we're always here and we're always playing cheery music. And I basically just do short me toos, station sales with a smile on my face. That seems to be the secret. One of my proudest achievements being here was this time last year, I got a 17 point something share. But you know what it's like in radio? I've worked in it long enough. Sometimes you get a good book, sometimes you get a bad book. It's the trends that are the important things. So I'm proud of what I've achieved here. But it's time now for a new challenge.
And you've done some big stuff, like the world record. You did a kind of underwater broadcast for 5 hours. That sounded like fun.
Do you know how that came about? My kids were at that stage where they were learning to swim, and I thought, if I go on holiday, I need to be able to rescue them from the pool. I've always had a fear of water. So what I did was say, why don't we do this Guinness World Record underwater broadcast thing? And then I had to learn to swim, then I had to learn to dive. And because it was all very public, I had to do it. There was no wimping out. I had to just do it. So I'd sucked it up and did it. And that's why I held that record for something like 6 years, I think, until some people in Dubai got it last year. And they did it in a much better scenario. They were in a hotel complex with stingray and all sorts of stuff. So I was in the bottom of a dive pool about 3 meters down.
So more than 10 years at Wave now, and another lifestyle change for you, because you're going to have to get up very, very early from next month.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be all right about it. I'm going to use it as an opportunity to get myself in shape physically, because the last time I had to get up at 4 a.m. was when I was doing breakfast at Mercia. And I did that when Georgina, who's now 14, was just born, and she didn't sleep very well. So it would be quite often that I would go to bed about 10 wake up about midnight, try and placate a baby for an hour, then go back to bed at one, then get up at four. And I managed to get through that with a smile on my face. But I'm just mindful that I'm going to need to change my lifestyle a little bit. But I'm really looking forward to the new challenge. That time in the morning is an excellent time to be on. You've got people finishing their night shift. You've got people starting the day. You've got such a broad cross-section of audience at that time of the day. And having spent 25 years trying to say as little as possible in the shortest space possible, I think that's a perfect opportunity for me to learn to cut my cloth accordingly and relax a little bit more into a BBC-style format.
Are you excited about it, yeah?
Yeah, very much so. It's, you know, not that I'm bored at Wave, but they do say boredom is the enemy of creativity, and I'm really looking forward to the new challenges that presenting that show is going to bring. And the station is brilliant in terms of being local. Certainly in the last week with the snow that we had here in the south, they pulled out all the stops. They did extra shows. The coverage was immense. And it was really nice to be able to sit at home and listen to that and think, I'm going to be part of this in a few weeks. It's going to be awesome.
And the good thing about doing early breakfast is you're back and home in bed or doing the school run when everybody else is just getting up to go to work. So you've done your day and you've got the rest of the day to go to the beach.
Yeah, I think I probably will during the summer go home and have a nap on the beach. But I've also got my other little business that I run. So the way I'm looking at the moment, Monday and Friday will be easy days where I nap a bit. Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday will be the days where I'm doing other bits and pieces. And obviously it's going to take a bit of a shift in the working ethic, because instead of doing my prep before I go on air, I'll be doing my prep the night before I go on air. So the thing is, I've got two teenagers. I don't have control of the remote in the house anyway, so it's not like I'll be watching TV. I'll be able to watch what I want during the daytime when they're all out.
I suppose the difference as well is going to BBC Local Radio. You kind of establish yourself as a broadcaster rather than a music DJ. Is that how you kind of see it, as a kind of transition in your career?
I am guilty sometimes of jocking it a little bit, and I know that I won't be able to do that with the BBC anymore. So yes, I am transitioning my career and doing link sitting down more than standing up, basically, I think. There's one other period in my career where I had to do that, and that was when Birmingham was evacuated. Shortly after the July 7th bombings, the Saturday after, the West Midlands police lost a couple of terror suspects and they shut down the centre of Birmingham. And I had a phone call from Adam Bridget about 9:30 that evening saying, have you been drinking? No. Can you get to our emergency broadcast facility? We've got an emergency broadcast facility? Yes, we have. It's just down the road from you. And it turns out the chief engineer had been maintaining an emergency studio in one of the old roadshow units in a lockup. Wow. And when they evacuated Birmingham city centre, we were the only radio station that was able to be live and local. So 15 minutes after that phone call, I'm standing outside a lockup in Hale's Own waiting for Lawrence Frame, the engineer, to turn up. And we went straight to the transmitter via ISDN, and we were broadcasting to the whole of Birmingham. And I'd obviously not done speech radio before, but I had heard about it and read the basics of what you need to do. Like, keep resetting the topic. People are coming in all the while. And I really enjoyed it. Like 80% speech, having never done it before. It was a great opportunity. And I think I adapted to that. So the challenges of BBC Local Radio and a bit more speech and not relying on the music so much, I welcome that opportunity to give it a try.
And once you get in at the BBC and they see your figures from Wave, you're surely a shoo-in to get Steve Ryan's job when he goes.
Well, you kind of think if you don't have a TV profile, then the only other way to get to national radio is to be part of the organisation somewhere else. Maybe one weekend early morning, if they're desperate, they might go, yeah, he's doing all right, we'll give him a try. But to be honest, at the moment, I've got my mind elsewhere. It's about the life maths changing to the BBC. Along with the challenge, it's about the life maths. I've got two teenagers who are very busy with their lives. One of them's into horses, the other plays football. My parents are 100 miles away and not in great health. So when you factor all those other things in, this is the dream shift for me, because when I finish at 6:30, I've got time to get up to Northampton. I've got time to do whatever and then manage those other demands that you have alongside your career.
Well, we wish you lots of luck. You're going to miss commercial radio, though.
Oh, no, commercial radio is still there, and I will still listen. And, I mean, mainly because my kids have Kiss On in the car all the while, so, you know, I'm going to hear it still. It's, you know, thriving. I saw an article on the radio today, or site the other day, that national advertising revenue has leapt up again. So commercial radio certainly isn't going anywhere.
Well, good luck with the early shifts. Get that alarm set, and good luck at the BBC.
Really nice to talk to you, Stuart. Thank you.
That was Simon Clark. Here's more Stu Clarkson with this week's news.
Yes, I'm back again, and the big story this week is a return to a daily show for Radio's Stephanie Hurst, 4 years after leaving Capital Yorkshire. She's going to be doing 9 till 12 each morning on BBC Radio Leeds. Steph replaces Richard Stead, who moves to breakfast on the station. Liz Green, who does breakfast at the moment, is going to lunchtimes. Lunchtime presenter Andrew Edwards is moving to weekend breakfast. He replaces John A. Anson, who's taking over the networked BBC local radio show in the evenings instead of Georgie Spanswick, who's heading back to Radio York's breakfast show. Got it? Good. Hearts, North Lancashire and Cumbria and Smooth Lake District are the new stations from Global this week. It follows the group's purchase of the Bay and Lakeland Radio from CN Group a few months back. Commercial radio took more in advertising revenue in 2017 than in any previous year, according to new figures from Radio Centre. The £679.2 million is up 5.2% on 2016. The 10 small-scale DAB trial multiplexes are going to continue until 2020. Ofcom says those interested in running an SSDAB MUX will get the opportunity to apply for a licence during 2019. That'll include groups running the trials, which were awarded back in 2015. Controversy at the Global Awards when Stormzy gave a big up to Magic while collecting an award, as well as Capital and Capital Extra. Other than that, the awards night seemed to go well, with Little Mix taking 3 prizes. Presenters from all of the global big brands were there to host and hand out the awards. Talking of magic, Emma B is joining to do a Saturday morning show, 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. She's previously worked on stations including Smooth, Heart and Radio 1, amongst others. And Love Sport Radio, one of the new stations from Kelvin McKenzie, has started tests on 5:58 a.m. in London this week, ahead of its full launch on the 19th of March. Going to be on DAB in the capital as well. Presenters announced include Ian Stone at breakfast, former rugby player Brian Moore on Drive, plus Christo Fufas and Kevin O'Sullivan on mornings and afternoons respectively. And the former Lib Dem MP Lembit Opik will do a late night show on the station. Sounds interesting. And there's lots more news every day, of course, updated all the time at radiotoday.co.uk.
Thank you, Stu. David Lloyd after this.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
David Lloyd Radio Moment.
It's 3 years this week since UK Radio waved farewell to Zane Lowe.
Thanks for nearly 12 years of incredible memories, of feedback, of sharing this show, of sharing music with me. Let's do this one more time.
And they've done all right. World's famous BBC Radio 1 Arctic Monkeys dance floor. What's up? Let's have it.
Zane Lowe leaving Radio 1 this week in 2015 in favour of a future at Apple's Beats 1.
Off Meek Mill's new release on iTunes right now, Dreams Worth More Than Money. My name is Ebro. This is Beats 1 broadcasting now on Apple Music. And let's not forget tomorrow, Eminem and Zane Lowe. Then the weekend's come. We got some big things planned. Dr. Dre.
And I know she'll be the
Q-Tip. It's going to be amazing around here on Beats 1 this weekend. Just to name a few, as Chris Marigliani put it, a potpourri.
Got a potpourri of shows coming up on Beats 1.
The launch of Beats 1 from Apple. Radio stations often have a potpourri of puzzling names. What does Hallam FM mean if you listen on DAB? And Key 103 will probably sound rather odd when they eventually think about losing the 103. But the most awkward of all was probably Radio 210 in Reading, named after its AM wavelength. It launched this week in 1976, later becoming 210 FM, even though it was never on 210 on FM.
6:12 and a half. Today is our opening day of Radio 210 Thames Valley, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got an array of stars coming in to the station and also visiting the Butt Centre, but we'll be telling you a little bit about them later on. Except to say that some of the big names are Mary Hopkin, the Surprise Sisters, Mac and Katie Kassoon, Gary Benson, Roger Whittaker, the Kersell Flyers, we've got June Ritchie, Polly Brown, Peter Skellen, I think we've got Mud coming in, and Madeline Bell's joining me on the breakfast show this morning. So there we are. Stay tuned, because we're going to bring you the best and brightest in radio.
It's one of the smallest of the commercial stations, but already it claims to have the biggest radio audience in the Thames Valley.
It's 8:25, time for our school call letters. It's Bob Harris with you, of course, sitting in for John Hayes while he's away on holiday for the next couple
of weeks. And it's no surprise to find that records make up nearly half the 19 hours broadcasting a day.
Basically, what we've got to do is provide information, education and entertainment to as many people as possible. And there's an old cliche, which we've used as many, many times, which is we want to appeal to most of the people most of the time.
Great to hear Bob Harris there. The launch of Radio 210 this week in 1976, a station which later was to deliver us both Mike Reed and Steve Wright.
Rise and shine, wakey wakey, it's coming round to 11 minutes to 8, Radio 210 coming at you. 210 metres medium wave, 1431 kilohertz, 97 FM in stereo.
He thought he was nearly not going to fit that in, didn't he? Steve Wright on Radio 210. A programme which lasts 21 years has to deserve a mention, and this one did.
La da 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 dee 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 da 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 dee 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 da 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 dee. I'll be with you all again tomorrow morning. La da dee 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 da.
I realised that I couldn't be quite what I'd been on Luxembourg and telling jokes and being very flippant. You know, rather like Wogan does now, highlights the thing he gets from letters, which I'd been doing on Luxembourg. And I thought, well, you've got to be careful, you can't do that sort of thing. But I did a script for every day, and I made it near enough conversational. So, fine, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I do the programme, and the producer of the programme said, Teddy, we've got a problem. They don't like what you're doing. The people upstairs.
And round the corner I am. Good morning. Funny how reticent some people are to give names, whereas others literally fill their postcards with full details of 200 or 300 people they'd like mentioned. At 37 Atherley Road, Shanklin, in the Isle of Wight, lives Mrs. D. Walker. She has a daughter whose home is The Nook, Avenue Road, Shanklin. Well, I'd like to be able to tell you the daughter's name. I'd like to blazon it to the skies. But alas, Mrs. Walker is not forthcoming. It's a pity, because it's her daughter's silver wedding anniversary today.
Anybody at home at 136 Befford Road, Clapham? Who the occupant is, I really can't say. I'm not given their name, but I know it's Rosie's mum and dad, because she and all her sisters and brothers were around there.
Housewife's choice before the days of text and social media, and you can just hear the barely suppressed anger from the presenters when the listeners don't bother to put the right names on their cards. The programme launched on the fairly new Light programme this week in 1946 with one of the most recognisable signature tunes of any radio programme in history. You heard there the voices of George Elric, Teddy Johnson, Kenneth Horne and Bob Danvers Walker. The programme comprised record requests and dedications for the nation's housewives who were left at home whilst their husbands were at work. Amongst the hundreds of men over the years, a handful of women were trusted to present the programme: Barbara McFadden, Joan Griffiths and indeed Vera Lynn. London is a congested radio market these days. But it wasn't until this week in 1990 that its first incremental station was laid on top of Capital and LBC.
We have bebop discos. We have young DJs like Giles Peterson who have created, maybe he did it, I don't know, but he certainly reflects an enormous interest among young people. So we're going to have to cover the age groups from maybe 17 to about 77, from country blues right across to the most avant-garde jazz.
I didn't sleep the night before. There wasn't any sleep at all. The excitement was huge. I mean, it was such a big deal. We were in the studio very, very early, watching the clock as it was coming up and just, you know, keeping our wits about us. It was just everybody applauded the moment we got that first song out. It was just amazing.
The launch of the original Jazz FM in London this week in 1990. That was Dinah Luke speaking. Late Nights and John Peel go together like hand and glove. This week in 1968, he hosted his first ever night ride on the BBC.
Well, it's a bit good, that. Rick Saunders had the occasional word ensemble, and that was called I'm So Glad. And I'm going to play a record now for everybody who's working at 22 Bettington Street, WC2. And it's a record I got yesterday from one of my favourite record shops, and it's very hard to get hold of, so they tell me. It's by Robert Wilkins, and it was recorded in 1930 in Memphis. And blues purists and people are going to, you know, be very upset if I say this, but it sounds like a sort of Mississippi Delta George Formby, which sounds, you know, it sounds very insulting. But it's such a lovely sort of happy sound. Thank you. And it's called Police Sergeant Blues, and it's really great. Listen closely to it.
John Peel on Night Ride in 1968. Now, that is wonderfully authentic presentation. So, with commercial radio arriving in Derby 31 years ago...
Trent's
9:45. Designer Radio. Radio tailored to suit your lifestyle.
Commonwealth Games Radio, launching 16 years ago.
And this is Mike Shaft wishing you a very warm welcome to BBC 2002 Commonwealth Games Radio.
Radio arriving in Scotland 95 years ago.
It was all very, very primitive, very amateurish.
And a forward-looking Virgin Radio about to launch its first website 22 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Stu Clarkson and Simon Clark. Next week, Jeff Lloyd on Working with Ed Miliband and joining Union Jack Radio. Thanks for listening. Ta-da.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.